thank you, Claudia, and the elementary school band. Appreciate that. The story is told of an 8-year-old girl, Susan, who was in art class. And in her art class, I'm going to come out here because I don't like to talk behind somebody. In art class, she was drawing a picture. And her teacher was looking over her shoulder. And the teacher looked at that picture, and the teacher could not recognize what she was drawing. And the teacher said, "What are you drawing? I don't recognize it." And Susan said, "It's a picture of God." And the teacher said, firmly, "But no one knows what God looks like." And Susan said, "They will when I've finished." We laugh at the audacity of a little 8-year-old to say she knows exactly what God looks like. And if the truth were known, we all have our own mindset, our own mental pictures of what we think God is like, our understanding of God, which of course we think is correct. We are just beginning a series, as Pastor Young talked about last week, if you were here last week, the staff is doing a series on the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And today, we are looking, Today we're doing a look at fundamental beliefs numbers 2 and 3, and we'll pop them up on the screen in just a minute. And by the way, they are in your bulletin. There's a little insert in there that it's in there for you to follow along. I'm going to begin by first of all reading, and you can follow along on the screen or on your insert, about the introduction to the fundamental beliefs. Now, last week, Pastor Young talked on fundamental belief number 1, but I want to talk about the introduction because I think it ties in a little bit with what I just, the illustration I gave about the little girl saying she knew everything about God. You know, well, let me draw the picture. Listen to this. Seventh-day Adventists accept the Bible, and these are in the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you have a church manual, you look it up on the internet, these are there. Seventh-day Adventists accept the Bible as their only creed, Pastor Young talked about that last week, and hold certain fundamental beliefs to be the teachings of the Holy Scriptures, and that's what we're doing in this series now, basing it on the Bible. These beliefs, as set forth here in the listing of the beliefs, constitute the church's understanding and expression of the teaching of Scripture. Now, here's the point that I wanted to make that ties in with the girl's story a little bit. It says, revision of these statements may be expected at a general conference session when the church is led by the Holy Spirit to a fuller understanding of Bible truths or find better language in which to express the teachings of God's holy room. God's holy room. God's holy word. There's always room. It's getting ahead of myself. There's always room to grow. Always room to grow. Nobody understands it all perfectly. So today we're looking at fundamental beliefs 2 and 3, and here is fundamental belief number 2. That's entitled the Trinity, which is also sometimes referred to as the Godhead. Let me read it. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a unity of 3 co-eternal persons. God is immortal. What does immortal mean? You know what immortal means? What does immortal mean? He can't die. That's right. He won't die. A mortician is someone who deals with death. Immortal means he can't die. God is immortal. He's all-powerful. Well, that's been translated. The word that's usually used to talk about God being all-powerful is a big word that's called omnipotent. He is also all-knowing. The word that you use to describe that is what? Omniscient, all-knowing. Science, the study of knowledge. Omniscient, he's all-knowing. He's above all. The term that's used for that is sometimes transcendent. He's out there. But he's also ever-present. That's imminent. He's close to us. He is infinite. You know what infinite means? Never-ending. He's infinite. And beyond human comprehension. Notice that. He is beyond human comprehension, yet known. That's almost like a paradox, isn't it? It's both and. We can't know him, and yet we can know him. He's beyond our knowledge, and yet he is known through his self-revelation, what he tells us about himself. He is forever worthy of worship, adoration, and service by the whole creation. Now remember, this is talking about three people, three beings, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This doctrine of the Trinity is not simple. There are huge books written about the topic, and there's no way we're going to talk about both these topics here in the next few minutes. No way. Can't even begin to cover it. It's huge. People have written volumes in their attempt to explain and understand God. But in our fundamental belief, it says so nicely that it's beyond human comprehension, yet we still attempt to seek to know out God. Christians have been arguing, debating about this concept of the Trinity for 2,000 years. That's about how old the Christians are. The church, the group has been around 2,000 years. They've been debating it for about 2,000 years. So you're not alone in thinking, well, I don't understand how this could be. How can three people be one? You're not alone in understanding it. In fact, back in the early Christianity, that C after the word Arius, that C means about 250 to 336 A.D. That's a long time ago. Almost 2,000 years, not quite, but 1,800, 1,700 years ago, there was a man by the name of Arius who taught that Jesus was not eternal God. He said Jesus was made by God. He was a created being. And so when you hear of the topic of Arianism, it's based on this guy, Arius. That Jesus is not eternal. So it's not new. It's been around for a long time. In fact, there were some early Advent pioneers. Now, in the Mission Spotlight, there was a story on one of the early Advent pioneers, Ellen White. She was one of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There were other early Advent pioneers who were Arian. They did not believe Jesus was eternal God. Joseph Bates was one of them. Remember, he was the sea captain and got the Sabbath from some other people. James White, Ellen White's husband at the time of his life, was Arian. He did not believe Jesus was eternal God. He believed God made him special, but that he was created. And then Uriah Smith, the famous author of the Daniel and Revelation book, he was Arian. So early Advent pioneers, some of them were Arian as well. They taught that the Son, Jesus, was created. Just a couple verses that Seventh-day Adventists look at the Bible that say that give us some idea that there are three beings who are God. At the very creation in the Bible, this is from the translation of the Bible called God's Word. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image after our likeness." A hint clear back at creation that there is more than one person who's God being involved in the work of creation. And then when Jesus gave his last instructions, when Jesus was here, he made this comment. "So wherever you go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Can you imagine someone? And we've all seen baptisms here. Can you imagine someone baptizing someone in the name of the Father and of Peter and of Paul? It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. They're not equal. So right here gives an idea that the three are one. Now, to try to understand the Trinity is, I believe, a mystery. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Someone said to remember that story? Someone said to Jesus, show us the Father, and Jesus says, well, look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you imagine coming up to someone who you've never met their spouse before, and you say, well, what's your spouse like? And they say, well, look at me and you've seen her. Look at me and you've seen him. Wonder what they were doing out and about. They need some help. There's something going on here that's different, and there's lots of text, and we're not taking the time to do it in the insert. There's lots of text there for you to study on your own. But I want to look at three quick illustrations that I have heard through the years that people have used talking about the Trinity. One is a rope. You can have three strands of rope. You weave them together, and you have one rope. Three different strands, different, woven together, yet one rope. It's an illustration. All illustrations are imperfect. A family. If your family is composed of three people, there's three people in your family. Say your last name is Smith. There could be Father Smith, Mother Smith, son or daughter Smith. You're all Smith. You're all the same family, you're all one family, and yet three separate beings. That's a concept and illustration of the Godhead, a little bit. Another illustration that I've heard used is water. Water can take, and I'm not a scientist, so don't hold me accountable here, but water could be in three forms. It could be liquid, you know, liquid water, water. You could have water in a solid form. Ice. Is ice water? Is it water? Yeah, it's solid. You could also have it in a gas or steam. Three forms, yet all water. Illustrations. This whole concept of the Godhead is challenging. They all love us. They all want the best for us, and yet there'll always be mystery in attempting to understand this. God is so big and so complex that we cannot understand God. It's interesting, after I put this together, it was called to my attention that right now, I just got in the mail this week, two magazines that are talking about the Trinity. One is the January 25 issue of the Advent Review. If you get the review, there is a theology article entitled Experiencing the Trinity. At the center of our universe is a community of love, harmony, and oneness. Talking about that in the Godhead, in the Trinity. So that's an article if you want to pursue that further. Also, in the Recorder, this issue, the February Recorder, there is in the section where Mark Carr, there's been some debate talking about unity and tolerance in the church. And in this article, he talks a little bit about the Trinity. And so that's something else for you to pursue if you would like to do that. All right, going to move to fundamental belief number three, God the Father. God the Father, God the eternal Father, is the creator, source, sustainer, and sovereign. That means the ruler over all creation. He is just and holy, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The qualities and powers exhibited in the Son and the Holy Spirit are also revelations of the Father. That's kind of what I said a little bit ago, where Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They overlap, they reveal a lot of the same things. And there are several texts here that you can pursue on your own. This is an old illustration, you've probably heard it many times, but I think it's very appropriate. The story about five blind men who are asked to describe an elephant. Blind men. So they couldn't see. So they each felt the elephant with their hands in an attempt to find out what the elephant was like. One man grabbed the elephant by the tail. He says, an elephant is like a rope. Another man felt the elephant's leg. He said, oh, an elephant's like a tree trunk. Third man put his hand on the side of the elephant. He said, an elephant's just like a wall. Fourth man felt the big floppy ear of the elephant. And he said, an elephant's just like a big fan. The fifth man felt the trunk, the big long trunk of the elephant. He said, an elephant's just like a great big hose. You know what an elephant looks like, don't you? Were any of these people right? Well, that's kind of a tricky question, isn't it? They were right. An elephant's tail is like a rope. Its legs are as big as tree trunks. So on and so forth. But an elephant is more than just a tail or a leg or a trunk. It's a whole great big animal. None of the men were all wrong. And none of them were totally correct. They just didn't know everything. We have the same problem when we talk about God. We believe some things about Him, we learn some things about God, but we don't know everything. God is greater, God is more powerful and more wonderful than we could ever begin to imagine. Another magazine that just came, late, but it came, January 11 issue of the Advent Review. I noticed this in this article, written by Stephen Chavez, an article entitled The New Idolatry, and it's an article on God. The last paragraph says, now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Until we know Him as fully as He knows us, let us resist the temptation to create a God in our own image. God is not a problem to be solved. He is a mystery to be experienced. That's good. That's good. We can never begin to understand everything about God. Recently, I came across, and perhaps some of you have seen it on the email, Father's Love Letter. It's a selection of many paraphrased Bible verses that were woven together like a love letter from God to us. And with some minor editing on my part, it goes like this. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. You were made in my image. Because of me, you live and move and have your being. You are my child. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. All your days are written in my book. I determined when and where you would live. You are amazingly and wonderfully made. I knit you together inside your mother's womb. I brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am the perfect expression of love, and I want to share that love with you. In fact, I want to lavish my love on you because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from me. I am your provider, and I meet all your needs. My plans for your future have always been filled with hope. Because I love you with an everlasting love, my thoughts about you are as countless as the sand on the seashore. I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. With all my heart and soul, I desire to establish you. I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus, for in Jesus my love for you is revealed. Jesus is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins against you. Jesus died so that you and I could have our relationship restored. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. Love, your dad, Almighty God. Let us pray. Precious Father, thank you this morning that you reveal yourself to us through the Bible, that we learn about your revelation through Jesus, through the Bible, and that we realize you have a wonderful future for us, that you are with us now. And as we seek to relate with you and understand you, be with us through our struggles, through our ups and downs, and we look forward to the day when we can see you face to face and share in your love personally, in your presence, with all of our loved ones, with our friends, with all the saints of eternity forever, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.